Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I'm your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, wonderful, and talented co-host, Tony Boucher. We have a great show lined up for you today. You know, I meet some wonderful people on social media, and as I always say, if used correctly, it can be a powerful tool to establish friendships, lasting connections, and you can get a lot of things done. So our guest today, I met on social media, and I can't wait for you all to hear his story. It is definitely something that you all need to hear. So hang tight. We'll have him on momentarily. But before we get to our wonderful guest today, Tony, let's get the listeners caught up on our past week and weekend. What have you been up to? What have you accomplished?
Yes. Well, I had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend with all of my three children being here. My Andre, my 20-year-old, is a student at Clemson, and he wasn't scheduled to be in town, but decided to go ahead and take a few days to visit family. So that was a real treat to be able to spend time with him. And work-wise, I actually just got off the phone today with one of my colleagues here who is helping. We're collaborating with several community agencies to put together a conference in October for young adults to learn about dating and relationships. So it's just, given our guest today and what we're going to be talking about today, I thought that was just appropriate. So that's been my week. What about you, Eli? What have you been up to?
Well, my week has been, it started out okay yesterday. I played a practice round. You know, I'm as I continue to work on my game heading into summer, I always like to go out and kind of test the things that I've been working on and see where I'm at and what I need to continue to work on as I head back to the range to kind of get things, you know, dialed in for this push as we get closer to the end of the season. I had an interesting experience on the course yesterday. There's a minor incident, and I know I've heard about these type of incidents, and I didn't experience one until yesterday. We were playing, and normally the course is pretty crowded. There are a lot of individuals, and during the weekday, a lot of beginners come out and play, which is great. I love that. I'm all for that. And there was a group that was playing in front of us that were beginners, and there was a group behind us who, I guess they play a lot. They were not very good, but you know they were trying to play pretty fast, and we didn't know. Our group didn't notice that the group behind us was getting frustrated, and they thought we were playing too slowly. And the one individual walked up to us as I was putting the tee into the ground and said some things to our group and kind of accused us of playing slow and holding up everybody else. And I normally don't get upset because I know if I get upset out there, it'll take me a few days to get back to center. So I fight that. But yesterday, it was pretty hard to fight. And I did use my words. I didn't go overboard. You know, I did inform the individual that if he wanted to call the pro shop, he could. But he should really kind of chill out because the group in front of us are beginners. And we should all be for those players learning the game. And they're not hurting anybody, and nobody's going anywhere anyway, because the group in front of them was even slower. And so we got done with the round, and we come in, and, you know, my friend who was playing with me, you know, kind of said, you know, you were very, very soft-spoken, very mild-tempered dealing with that, you know, because he would have dealt with it differently. He would have, you know, kind of gotten really upset, and you know, it's something that I've tried to work on, you know, and it's worked. But that was an interesting experience. And, you know, I encourage people who do go out and play golf, whether you're beginning or you're very good at it, you have to continue to practice patience. and not just with golf, but in life. We sometimes always we get excited and we want to jump the gun on things when we should really kind of relax, take a deep breath. You know, you're going to hit the ball when it's your turn. But let's give these new beginners a chance. So it was new. It was something I know that I'll continue to learn from. And I hope the group behind us learns that you can't push people. Like, that's not the way to go about accomplishing anything. So in that regard, it was tough. But overall, I got some things done. We are getting ready to start the PGA Junior League, which I'm excited about. I'm really excited to see the youth start playing. I'm excited to be involved in that. So that was my week. I did have some downtime to spend Mother's Day with the missus, and we had a good time. We're looking forward to another busy week of work. So that's what I've been up to in a nutshell. Not too much, not too bad. As we transition
wow.
to our
how do you rush golf?
Well, you know, I think there are players, and listen, I've been guilty of that kind of where I would feel like I want to hit the shot. Like, they're just holding up. What are they doing, you know? But then when you realize that, you know, everybody in the group has hit a shot, you don't know where the ball is going to go. And you have to give them time to get to the ball and to think about the next shot. It's a process. And I think sometimes we kind of rush that process because we get jumpy. So now when we hit a bad shot, we blame the group in front of us or behind us for interfering in that positive process that we feel that's been broken. And so
I love the stories you tell about this because, you know, you've always talked about how golf is such a light, like it magnifies life, and so many lessons that I hear you telling about when you have these experiences on the golf course. That's great. Thanks for sharing with us today. But I guess we should get on to our guest now, though.
Absolutely.
This is very exciting, what we're going to be talking about today.
Absolutely. Our guest today, folks, he really needs no introduction. He's an autism advocate. He's a blogger. He's a speaker. He's an author and a dude with a purple chin. I like the dude with a purple chin. I like that. He was diagnosed at 46 with Asperger's. J.R. Reed joins us. Thank you for taking some time out and joining the show, my friend.
Hey, thank you for having me. And first off, as an adult league hockey player for 25 years, I commend you greatly on your patience on the golf course. Because that is not how we handle things on the ice.
Exactly.
But that's how we should handle things on the ice.
Well, yeah, I certainly agree with you. Let's get into your story here, because you know, we met on social media on Facebook, and I'll be in Springfield next month. Your story, you know, I gravitated to, and your website, not weird, just autistic.com. And I recommend folks to go there. There's tons of information about JR.
I second that.
About
blog. Really well written.
Thank you. Yes.
Great material. So, yeah, check it out, people. It's really worth it.
Absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit about your journey, because to me, it's very emotional reading some of the things that you had to go through. I cringed. I teared up a lot. And, you know, nobody should have to deal with that. But you came out the other side a better man for that. You've done some things in the community. So let's talk a little bit about your journey and how all this came about.
Well, okay, first off, I've been a freelance writer for more than 20 years, and late last year I decided, about 6 years after my diagnosis of Asperger's, that I was just going to focus all my writing on the autism and everything on autism, because when you get to high school and college and adult age, you've got nobody looking out for you. All the money that, you know, the federal government gives out, all the money the charities give out, about 90% of it goes towards kids. And
mm-hmm.
so anybody high school level and above is kind of the forgotten
mm-hmm.
forgotten piece on the autism spectrum. And so that's really who I advocate for and who I try to work with. And that's why the first book was about dating, because that's really the age, you know, high school and above, that goes for. But I grew up in a time, I was out of high school for, I think, 12 years before the word autism even was a word, and about 16 years before there was the word Asperger's. And so, thus the blog title, I was never autistic. I was always just weird when I was growing up. Teachers that would call me weird, stupid, lazy. Other kids had more colorful terms for me. Employers, I had one employer that called me Forrest Gump for 4 years and thought that was hilarious. I really didn't think it was so funny, but, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to leave that job and go to another job where somebody else is going to call you something just as bad?
Right.
So, you know, I just kind of pushed on and kept trying to figure out what it was with me that was making me be this weird. I tried to get diagnosed in my 30s. The two doctors that I saw then both didn't want to diagnose me because they didn't think it really mattered what term I had for whatever it was. I just wanted a name for it so that I knew and I could try to figure it out. But finally, at age 46, my psychiatrist diagnosed me with Asperger's, and then my neurologist did as well.
Wow. Wow. And,
so,
you know, you
– Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, going through that, you know – That,
yeah, it
that
was tough, and, you know, even to this day, my dad's been passed away 16 years ago, and my mom still does not quite have a handle on the whole autism thing and still tells me that I'm not living up to my potential and that I could do better.
Mm.
And, well, yeah, of course I could. We all could, you know?
Right.
Unless you're Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, I think we could all be doing better.
Right.
So... You know, I just kind of look at it from the view. Now that I know what it is, I try to look at it from the viewpoint of the other people just being ignorant about what autism is and who we really are and what we're really all about, and that they just don't know. So I try to look at it not so much as an insult as just somebody who doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. And having a name for it really helps, doesn't it? You know,
it does. Well, it does, because I can now try to figure out, you know, for example, the things that kind of put me into that meltdown mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can figure out what those triggers are and try to avoid the triggers. Where
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a name for what it is, you don't know what you're looking for. I mean, you're really
yeah,
looking for a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, and then you're self-punishing, because then you have all those stories in your head about not living up to potential.
Oh, I've had self-esteem problems my whole life.
Yeah.
I every once in a while I still do, but not nearly as bad since I've been diagnosed.
Wow.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, you mentioned how a lot of these individuals who, you know, don't know what or don't understand. I think a lot of individuals, you know, they already have that set mindset, and they place you in that box, and they refuse to let you out. You know.
Yep. Well, I think, and this is generalizing, but I think, you know, the majority of people, if you ask them, you know, to describe an autistic person or, you know, an autistic character maybe, they would give you the Rain Man or they would give you Sheldon Cooper.
Absolutely.
From the Big Bang Theory. because to them that's what autism is, or that's what autistic person is, but that's not reality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Tony.
Oh, well, I just, you know, just to dovetail on that, I'm thinking about our listeners out there, some of them who may be undiagnosed and possibly suspecting that they're on the spectrum, or maybe they have a child or somebody that they care about. And I just wanted to hear a little bit about the community now that you have that name for it, and how, you know, what your experience has been in the autism community, you know, to help, you know, to help. Normal.
Well, you know, it was, it's really funny. When I lived in, I just moved from Long Beach, California to Missouri in the middle of the Ozarks last August. And when I lived in California, the closest psychologist that specialized in autism was 2 hours away. Mm. Now that I'm in the middle of rural Missouri, I've got 1 half-hour away. So go figure. But, you know, Facebook, I found two or three really, really good support groups for people with Asperger's or that suspect they have Asperger's, or for neurotypicals that have loved ones with Asperger's in their life. And, you know, for those that don't have a lot of support around them, that can be great support.
I recommend that as well. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%.
There's one group I found is called Asperger's Life Support. And if you're on Facebook, I highly recommend you ask to join the group. People that are in the group are extremely sympathetic. They give you good answers to your questions. You know, if you're not real clear on something, they'll ask you to define what you're saying a little bit more, and they really care, and they really want to help you.
That's awesome.
That's excellent. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, it is, because it's mainly people with Asperger's helping other people with Asperger's, or there's a lot of parents of kids that are hitting high school and college age saying, hey, my kid's going through this, and I don't get it. Can anybody explain this to me? And, you know, within a half hour, they've got 15 answers right there.
That's excellent.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think no matter where you live, if you can't find a good group of people that you can meet with and talk to, you know, Facebook has some great groups with people all around the world that can offer all kinds of different perspectives.
I like that a lot.
That.
You know, I love that you're advocating for adults, because, you know, I've often said that as they graduate, it seems like services diminish, and there is nothing out there. I know there are individuals that I've come in contact with, and some of the parents have said, it feels like my son is being stripped of everything that he's learned. Now he's going in the opposite direction, and then, you know, there's no inclusion now, and he's very isolated. So it's great that we have, you know, you as an advocate out there advocating for adults, because I think sometimes this gets missed because we focus a lot on the kids that are on the spectrum.
Yeah. But, you know, if they get good help when they're younger, it's easier to transition once they get older, but still – either way, it's really tough. And, you know, with the old CDC numbers of, you know, 1 in 68 or 69 or whatever it was, at that point there was 50,000 kids turning 18 every year that are high-functioning on the spectrum. And I wrote a blog post about that a while ago. And so now with the CDC lowering their numbers, that number is just going to get bigger. So you're going to have 60, 70, 80,000 new adults every year that are high on the spectrum. And I'm sure you guys know this, you know, the numbers fluctuate a little bit depending on the survey, but, you know, 65 to 75% of high functioning autistic adults don't work because they can't make it through the interview process because they don't have the social skills. And a lot of them end up living at home, living with family, living in group homes where they absolutely don't belong.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's at the point when you're leaving high school, and so there's a tremendous amount of isolation because all those relationships that you didn't need to initiate because you were going to school and you were seeing people, you graduate from
right.
high school, and if you have difficulty initiating, then all those relationships disappear, and if you're set
mm-hmm.
up to feel really isolated and depressed and lonely, which leads us to your book. About
yes, thank you.
Dating. I'm so excited to hear about this book, and I'm so excited that it's out there for folks to
well,
utilize. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, first off, it's not a long book. It's only about 60 pages, but that's also because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist, and so I don't feel the need to use big words and take 3 pages to for a single analogy when only a paragraph will do. And, going back to that Facebook group that I'm a part of, I ask a couple people with electrical backgrounds for analogy to use for the difference between the autistic brain and the non-autistic brain. And one of them said that it's like a string of Christmas lights. Some Christmas lights, when one bulb burns out, the whole string burns out. Some Christmas lights, when one bulb burns out, only that bulb burns out. But when you replace it, they both work. They both work.
Interesting.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not that either one of them are wrong. It's just two
right.
different ways of making the lights work.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get everything going the right way, they're both working. So
what did you, as you developed
the
your
book,
what
is,
did you find were the,
what?
Yeah, what did you find, what were your lessons that you have to share with people? Like if you could give, distill one really important takeaway for our audience today, what would you say was one of the most important lessons in your book?
Communication. Absolutely communication. If you don't understand what somebody is saying, or if there could be two meanings behind it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I said, "Eli, you're a jerk," but I was laughing, in a playful kind of way.
Right.
Then that's different than me saying, "Hey, dude, you're a jerk." But
right.
people on the spectrum
mm-hmm.
don't always understand the difference between those two because they don't recognize the facial cues and the vocal cues. So to me, the biggest thing is if your partner or the person you're dating or your wife or husband or whoever it is says something that you don't quite understand, communication. Ask them what they meant by that. Ask them if they meant that in a good way or a bad way, and so you know. So because our natural instinct is just to take it bad. And then that puts us in
that's
a bad mood,
excellent.
And that starts everything
yeah.
going the wrong way when it could have just been something playful,
Right.
So you're saying
right.
if I don't know, if I don't understand, all I have to do is say, can you tell me what you meant by that? I'm not sure I understand. Are you
exactly.
kidding? Are you serious? And then get that
clarification. That is, communication is the basis of every relationship, but in a relationship when one person's on the spectrum and one's not, it's got to be ramped up a little bit. You've got to talk a lot more. You've got to communicate a lot more
mm-hmm.
about what you mean and about your feelings and about what those feelings mean.
I think it goes
right.
the other way, too, because us Aspies are very direct. And we're not meaning if we're going to say something honestly to hurt anyone's feelings, chances are. We're just seeing it and calling it like it is or doing the
exactly.
logical thing or saying the logical thing. So a lot of neurotypicals can be off-put by that. So it's really important, I think, for the not autistic person to ask the question, too. So
absolutely. It goes both ways.
Yeah. It's great.
It absolutely goes both ways. Although people on the spectrum tend to be a little more direct about what they mean, but, without the sarcasm and things like that, although...
Mm-hmm.
when you get to be 46 and you haven't been diagnosed, you master sarcasm pretty well. So,
no kidding.
So some of us do understand those kind of things, but for the majority of us, you know, we don't understand sarcasm and things like that. But you're right, it's just as important for the non-autistic, for the neurotypical partner, to be asking those questions as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice.
Outstanding. Absolutely.
And, you know, now, the principles that I talk about in the book are all communication, honesty, respect, openness. You know, if there is a problem, get it out there. If you think there's a problem,
concepts.
Get it out there.
Those are really abstract concepts. And so, you know, like something like respect. I know a lot of the folks I work with have a really hard time wrapping their brain around what something like respect is. So
it takes a little work. You know, unfortunately, I didn't go into as much of what respect is, because one of the first things I said in the book is there are hundreds, if not thousands, of books out there about what high-functioning autism mm-hmm. is and what traits and everything, you know, we have. And those are great to read, but, you know, specifically about this. So, you know, that's something I could have gone into a little bit more. But the book I'm working on right now is called Autism Isn't Contagious. And it's, hey,
like
you would
that,
not man. Believe how many people think it might be.
Seriously?
And it's written towards neurotypicals as well as people on the spectrum about who we are and who we aren't, and then breaking it down by high school age, college age, and adults as to how we can come together in a, you know, neurodivergent, neurodiversity kind of way and all come together and be one community.
That's really important.
Because
I think
too much
really
of the time it's
right
an
now.
Us and them.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't do us any good. I agree with that 100%. It's really important to bring everybody together. And quite frankly,
I think people that are on the spectrum tend to be out-of-the-box thinkers. And I think if you, in any kind of relationship, whether it be romantic, work, just even social, if you can put a neurotypical and an autistic person together, you've got some great potential.
You bet. You bet. And we have to look at the lifespan, because all these kids that are getting diagnosed now, they're going to grow up, they're going to become adults, but then they're going to get old. So we have a whole aging population. We have wise, wise autistic elders that we can learn from.
I went and saw Temple Grandin last week in St. Louis, and I had not seen her before, and man, let me tell you, she is intense.
I think she would agree
but
with
she
you.
She is also extremely wise. You know, she had a lot of really good things to say. And I've read a couple of her books before, so I kind of knew what to expect. But, you know, it was, boom, this is it. Okay.
Wow. Well, listeners, I make sure you get a copy of JR's book, An Asperger's Guide to Dating Neurotypicals. It's fabulous. Now, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about your service dog there.
I've got a service dog named Ty, who I got from a great place called Dogs Nation, dogsnation.us. And, Eli, when you come out here next month, you'll probably meet Sean, the lady who runs Dog Nations. They are all shelter dogs. In fact, Ty was found in a garbage bag in a dumpster.
Oh, my goodness.
And ended up at the shelter. And he was a year and a half old at the shelter. And then they took him and trained him for 2 years, and now I've had him since October. But he is a great companion. You know, when we go out shopping and things, he's great with me. If things start to get a little crowded, you know, he'll walk circles around me. He'll get behind me in line to kind of keep a little distance between myself and the person behind me.
Nice.
And he's just a great companion and a good friend and someone who likes to be rubbed and petted way too much. And will growl at you when you stop.
Wow. Well, I love it, and you know, we love your story, man. And I, you know, I've always said that, you know, when I make these connections, these are friendships for me that I want to make last a lifetime. And
oh,
so,
me too.
You know,
and especially since we have some mutual connections, you know, on Facebook.
Absolutely. You know, and well, I want you to know that
I was excited when Dr. Linda Barbola put us in touch, and you know, not just to be on the show, but just to meet you and to talk to you, and you know, and to get your take on things and to hear what you had to say.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you and Linda and her group. They know that I love them to pieces. You know, this is a platform for you now. So if you have anything that you want to promote or you have upcoming, you know, don't be shy. Feel free to reach out. I normally respond as fast as I can. I try to make sure that I get to everybody. I get so many messages.
Hey, I totally understand. But you know what? I'd rather come to you when there is a topic that I think needs to be discussed rather than there's something I need to promote.
There you go. I like that.
We're open to that too.
Because it's the bottom line is it's not about me. It's about helping everybody else and helping these other people have a good life.
Absolutely. That's what we're all here for. And that was well said.
Absolutely.
Well, folks, notweirdjustautistic.com is the website. I encourage everybody to go there, read up, study, listen. It is powerful stuff. And JR, thank you so much for taking the time out to be on our show. You're welcome back anytime. I look forward to meeting you in person next month. I'm excited. You know, I hear all the time that people are always excited to meet me, but they have no idea that I am as excited, if not more, to meet them. I'm all about inspiring, but you know, the true inspiration comes from you and others. It allows me to do what I do, and to get better at doing what I'm doing. So I'm looking forward to meeting you next month.
Hey, can I say one last thing real quick before I go?
Absolutely.
Hey, it's available on Amazon and Kindle, and also in the UK and the Europe Amazon and Kindle bookstores. And if you buy it on Amazon or Kindle, please leave a review. That really helps me a lot.
I can say that, yeah. And it's a really affordable book. And, leave reviews for it. That does help. And it's worth the – it's like, what, $7 or $8 for the
– $7.49.
Yeah, so it's a really affordable book.
Yep.
So anybody can.
All right.
You know,
well, hey, thank you both for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to
thank
meet
you.
Thank
you.
All right.
See you next month.
I will see you next month, Eli.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The great J.R. Reed. I like that name. You know, I do.
That's an author's name, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It really is. I like that name a lot.
And he's a fantastic writer. You know, his blog really is worth the read. I recommend that people, you know, check it out. It's really a powerful read. No pun intended.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, you know, I'm just blown away. I know you, along with Linda, Jan, people that I come in contact with, it's like an olive branch. It's like, you know, there's so many people who have stories to share that we would never hear, you know, without platforms like this. And this is why I created this platform. And it just does my heart good to hear these stories. You know, he came from a very tough upbringing. You know, a lot of adults that are adults now are broken, having gone through that.
Mm-hmm.
And he found a way to come out the other side better, more knowledgeable about things and about people. And he's turned this into something that's going to really help adults that are transitioning from high school to maybe college or, you know, life
and
in general.
It's so needed. Yeah, it's so needed.
Because
he's absolutely right. There's just, you know, it's a cliff people, you know, drop off of once, you know, once they get out of that, you know, childhood stage. And it doesn't mean you don't need the help. So it's really important that folks like you are doing what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to questions of the week. We have a little time for at least one question this week. Folks, if you have questions, go to elijah.winfrey@gmail.com. Send me an email, and I will do my best to get your questions on the air. First question from Patricia in L.A. Patricia wants to know, are there any schools for just kids on the and adults on the autism spectrum? Patricia, I know of I'm sure there's schools out there, absolutely. There's one school in Florida, L's for Autism. Ernie L's, who's a PGA golfer, built a school for kids on the spectrum. And it's an outstanding piece of property. It continues to grow. And we had Jack Barrett, who's a first tee down in Florida, on the show a few months ago talking about first tee and L's for Autism. I'm not sure if I know of any in this area. I need to do my homework on that. Tony, do you know of any schools just for kids on the spectrum in your area there?
Yeah. Well, what's really interesting and what I'm hearing popping up all over the country is that a lot of families are identifying that their kids just don't fit the mold for traditional school, that there's not something out there. So they're creating schools. So you've got a lot of people who, you know, don't feel homeschooling is the right fit, but they don't want their child to go to a traditional school. So, for example, here in the Charleston area, we have a place called Karis Academy, which serves very successfully those very highly verbal, very articulate and capable Asperger's type kids who just can't be successful in traditional school. Karis Academy here is doing a wonderful job. They've been in practice a couple years, and they were started by a mom who had a child who just knew she needed to do something different to meet his needs. And so then, you know, Temple Grandin has a school. There's another school that's in the process of being built here called Beautiful Gate. A family has identified that their child is very medically fragile, and that is a whole other issue when you've got a medically fragile child. And so they're working on developing a school that will address those who are medically fragile. So the key is actually finding those families who are either in the process of developing programs or have developed programs. And one of the issues is schools come and go. So we had a school here for a little while that ran, and they just, it was too expensive to keep running, and so it's, you know, no longer in operation. But there are little schools popping up everywhere. It's just a question of finding them, which is the true challenge.
Right, in a lot absolutely. Of I'd often thought of one day, you know, starting a school for kids and adults. You know, again, that's me throwing things against the wall, you know, when I hear some of these tough stories, you know.
And there are lots of programs that are starting again to be birthed for adults that are addressing, you know, the post-high school issues. You know, we've got to, as JR mentioned today, we've desperately got to get those unemployed folks into productive situations. It's not that they can't work. It's that there's a gap between, you know, the employment and the supports that they need. And so there are a lot of little programs popping up everywhere, or coaches and people who, you know, like myself, who work individually with people or who have started little mom and pop shop companies to support people. But again, Eli, it's, you know, finding those people and knowing that they're actually out there.
Right. That's the key. That is the key for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Great question from Patricia. As we close here, Tony, what does the rest of your week look like? Is it really busy? Are you out and about?
I have a really exciting event coming up this weekend. We are going to be meeting with a bunch of parents in this community who are interested in exploring the idea of creating a co-op or an a la carte type situation for independent living. So we're going to bring a bunch of families together, and we're going to look at what resources everybody has and what kind of a vision people have for their young adults who are ready to move out of their houses into their own space but need a little bit of support to be successful. I'm going to talk about that and see what we can create to help those families move forward. We've got so many young adults who don't want to be living at home anymore, but they, again, it's like the employment, need a little bit of support so they can be successful in their own houses. They need the training. They need somebody checking in on them. And it's not mom and dad, really, at this point, who need to be doing it. It's, you know, as part of that growing up and moving out, it helps sometimes if there's an external, you know, an outside person who can support with that. So that's what I'm going to be doing is that. How about you, Eli?
Well, I am going to get back to the range. I'm going to take
great
today off to kind of heal up a little bit, recover tomorrow. It'd be more of a mental day tomorrow, kind of take a mental break a little bit. I was going to go and start practicing tomorrow. I still may, but I kind of start slow. I kind of want to process, you know, yesterday a little bit more on the things that I need to really correct. And I'll work on some Team Winfrey things. I know as we get closer to summer, I'll be mentoring some kids on the spectrum. So, you know, I continue to think of ideas on that and how I want to go about doing that. So I'm excited about that. I'll hopefully be attending another IEP meeting next week, next Monday. Nothing's set in stone, but I'm 70% sure that I'll be attending one of those. So I look forward to kind of sharing that, a little bit of that experience again. And other than that, you know, quality time with family and recovery. So that'll be what I'm doing
recovery
in a nutshell.
Good.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you all for tuning in and listening to the show. Tony and I are very appreciative of the support that we get each and every week. Seems like the listeners, the numbers go up every week. And Tony, when we get off air, I'll share with you the number from last week of the listeners that we had. So with that being said, yeah, it's big. With that being said, we wish you all in the community a great week. Get out and make someone or something better. Help your neighbor. Grab a hand. Doesn't take much. Make somebody smile. Till next week, this has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.